Thank you. You guys are so awesome. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I was debating as to whether to come up here and go down there, but I thought I wanted to stay up here because I didn't know what God was going to do with the music, because that's what I want to talk about tonight. My whole message is, I think my glasses down there. Oh, thank you. Awesome. My whole message tonight is about that. It's the presence of God, and it's about worshiping and releasing the manifest presence of God. Say that with me. Say worship,
worship.
Releases the manifest presence of God. Now, no, that's what, our whole theme, that's our culture here, is the presence of God. Let me make sure this keyboard is on. Yeah, come on. It'll be a little different. I've never done this before, so. But I want to release this word, because I think it's so powerful as to where we are in this season here at Life Center. So let's just close our eyes right now and just pray. Father, we thank you for planting your word in our hearts tonight. Thank you for giving us the ability, Lord, to teach the word, to share our hearts. We're overwhelmed with who you are. Your might, your splendor. Thank you, Lord, for ministering angels in this place tonight. You're so gracious. Thank you, Lord. Let the ray of your light penetrate the darkness, God. Open our hearts. Shine your light, your glorious word. Every heart, God, we love you. We'll honor you, receive you. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there are five things I want to talk about relative to worship releasing his manifest presence. I mean, you could either write these down or remember them. Prayer, unity, waiting, sacrifice, and a deep hunger. Prayer, unity, waiting, sacrifice, and deep hunger. And these five things I personally experienced in my life. How the presence of God has been manifested in my life over the years in leading worship. I've seen healings. I've seen many miracles. I've seen many signs and wonders. I've been in places where we're worshiping and the glory of God hit the place, and some strange things happen. If I mentioned them, you would think, oh my God. And I thought that way too when I first saw it. I thought, wow, is this really God? You know, but you never know how God is dealing with a certain individual when his presence, his manifest, his tangible presence. Now, I'm sure if you've been here the last several weeks, you understand the tangible or manifest presence of God, because that's what really we've been talking about and really, really sharing from our hearts. When we worship God, there's a tangible presence of God that I believe it's undeniable when every heart in the building is in tune with the heart of God. I remember someone came to me once and they said they knew of someone who was at one of Benny Hinn's meetings. You know, thousands of people are gathered. And someone had mentioned to him, he had shared, why are there so many miracles? Why do so many people get healed in my meetings or in... And yeah, he was sharing in my meetings, Benny Hinn was. And he says, that's because there are so many people there, but nobody knows each other. So there's so much unity in the house. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. When I want to talk about prayer first, say prayer.
Prayer.
Years ago, I was a worship pastor in Virginia, and I met a lady by the name of Ruth Heflin. I don't know if you ever heard of Ruth Heflin. Some of you, probably some of the older ones. She was an older lady out at the Calvary Campground and in Ashland, Virginia. And we would go down there at least two or three times a year and lead worship on her campground. And she wrote this book, and she gave me this book. And I remember reading it, and there were several things that really stuck to my heart. And one of the things was that a phrase in her book. Her book is titled Glory, Experiencing the Atmosphere of Heaven. As the air is the atmosphere of earth, glory is the atmosphere of heaven. As the air is the atmosphere of earth, glory is the atmosphere of heaven. And this, here's the other phrase. We praise until the spirit of worship come, and we worship until the glory comes. And then when the glory comes, we stand in it. We praise until the spirit of worship come, and then we worship until the glory comes. Then when the glory comes, we stand in it. And we're talking about manifest, tangible presence of God. And Chandi, he talked last week about the corporate and personal manifestation. And first I want to talk about prayer. Say prayer. Prayer intermingled or intertwined with worship brings the manifestation or manifest presence of God. I did a long teaching on this, but I'll just share a little bit of this. When the streams of worship and intercession converge, heavens open. The atmosphere shifts. One of the things about David in the Bible that made him he was so popular when King Saul was possessed or being harassed by spirits, it was that he knew what to play and how to play it. He knew the sound that was needed for the moment to break the bonds of darkness and bring immediate light into the room. Ooh, I get emotional when I talk about that. Because I've seen God many times. And it was years ago, and it was right here in Word Fellowship, actually, Life Center Word Fellowship. Kim Clement was here, and he called me out about, I don't know, 500 people. He called me King Richard. And I came up, and I remember him saying, he said, "You will play." I can't talk like him, so I'm not going to try. "And you play these sounds, and God will come in the midst of the people, and you will see signs and miracles." I just remember that part. And at that time, I wasn't even leading worship, and I knew something, some special call was on my life to lead the people into God's presence and be a part of that instrument in the hand of God to usher in the tangible, manifest presence of God. Wow. Prayer and worship. One of the scriptures that jumps out to me, Revelation 5 and 8. I guess you could see it up here, Revelation 5 and 8. The heavenly elders are holding two important items. In one hand, they held the golden bowls. In the other hand, was filled with incense, representing the prayer of the saints. And in the other hand, okay, was the harp, representing the worship. So one hand was the prayer. The other hand was the worship. And these two items were brought together, releasing the power of God. And if we look in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, I want to talk a little bit about this particular story because it shows an example of the presence of God released through worship. Actually, it shows the manifest, the tangible presence of God released to worship, bringing God's people into total victory. Say, total victory. Total. How many of you want to be in total victory? Yeah. It's the presence of God that does that. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 4, Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. Wow. Prayer life. Say, prayer life. He feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. He knew that the thing that can diminish, and the only thing that can diminish fear is prayer. Proverbs 29 and 25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare." I don't know if it's up there or not. "But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Yeah. I was thinking of this song when I was getting this word. Because I experienced some moments in my life where was gripped with fear. And I said, God, how can I trust you? How can I hold on to you? How can I believe you? And this scripture came to me. The fear of man breaks a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord shall be saved. Now remember this song. I just sang it to myself. I'm just going to just be transparent here tonight. I sang this song to myself. I'll just sing just a little bit of it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Do you know this? Sing it with me. Jesus, 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 how I trust you. Fear of man breaks a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord will be saved. Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered together in verse 4 to ask help from the Lord. They begin to pray, they begin to call on God. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Because Jehoshaphat knew if there's any way we can get this victory, we can get it through prayer and through corporate prayer. In Jeremiah 29 and 13, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me. Say, search for me with all your heart. You will seek me. You will find me when you search for me with all your heart. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, the Amplified Version says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he shows himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. We go back to 2 Chronicles 20. When he consulted with the people, he appointed those who will or who could sing or who could worship in the beauty of holiness. In other words, those who can reach areas, find that place, release the manifestation of God, the tangible presence of God, the power of his presence, who can sing until the heavens open. Jehoshaphat just wasn't looking for those who went to Berklee School of Music or who could read notes, who could play an instrument. He wasn't looking for the greatest musician. He was looking for that person or those who can worship in the beauty of holiness, who can open the heavens with their heart, with the heart of worship. He appointed those to sing to the Lord. And this was vertical worship, not horizontal. It was like worship to him. Say, worship to him. All eyes were on God. Okay, you don't have to keep saying, repeating after me. Sorry. All eyes was on his face and on his presence. I mean, songs like, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. I mean, we just sing that. You are the one. hearts adore. Come on, just close your eyes and focus on him tonight. Jesus, we love. Oh, how we love. You are the one our hearts adore. Our hearts adore you. They went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Can we say that tonight? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. In verse 22, they began to sing to the praise of his glory. And the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, the Moabites, the Demonites and the Devilites, whoever they were. Would come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now, I heard this story. It was mentioned here maybe a few years ago. Someone was here, shared this, and it may not have been that long. Story of E.P. Scott, who was a missionary in India, who one day was in India, and he was surrounded by this murderous tribe. He pulled out his violin and he began to play. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. But when he got to the stanza, let every kindred, every tribe, let every kindred, every tribe. Wow. Shall we get to that point where his presence is so thick? When he began to sing that, the story goes this way, that the tribe threw down their spears and they fell on their faces and they began to weep. And it said that the tribe, he was able to preach the gospel to that tribe. And they received Jesus. And they got saved that day. As I was thinking of this story, I thought about, again, Jehoshaphat. Because the scripture says, when they began, say began, to sing. It was in the beginning. It wasn't the second stanza. It wasn't when the crescendo began to build. It wasn't verse 2 or verse 3 or the chorus. It was when they began to sing. The Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And I believe we're in a place tonight individually. We have that personal, as Chandi was talking about last week, that personal manifestation, the presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. Number 2, unity. Oh, my goodness, I have to move fast. Number 2, unity. Okay. Unity releases the manifestation of his presence. Psalm 133 out of the Passion Translation. A song, David, he wrote this song to bring you higher in love in his presence and worship in his presence. And it says this, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest, Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robe. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from the realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessings and the promise of life forever. Solomon had just completed the work of the Lord. The furniture was in place. He brought the Ark of the Covenant in. The high priests were worshiping. They were just rejoicing. And then 2 Chronicles, pull that up here, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. It says, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God. And when they lifted their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments and music and praised the Lord, and they said, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Come on, say that. Say, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Say it again, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. Forever and ever, God. Thank you, Jesus. See, when I studied the scripture, I put myself in that position, in that place. What was really happening? What was the sound of that moment? The priest could not continue to minister because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house. No person throughout scripture had a meaningful experience in the presence of God without being changed. No person in scripture. No person today has a meaningful experience in the presence of God without being changed. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Say unity. Okay, move down real fast. Number 3, waiting in his presence. I love this. Waiting in his presence. W-A-I-T-I-N-G. I love 2 Samuel 5 and 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had appointed or anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Yeah. Say hold. David went down to the hold. Say waiting. Have you ever been in a hold? I was in a hold many times. Just waiting, wondering if God was there. What did I do? I just begin to worship God. I just lifted my voice. I may have been in the shower or in the car or wherever. Just loved on the Lord. My wife sent me this. She texted me, and I put it down. She doesn't know I'm going to say it, but it's perfect. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. The hold will hold you. Look at somebody and say, the hold will hold you. The hold is fresh oil. The hold is restoration. The hold is refuge. The hold is strengthening. The hold is faith and confidence in God. That God will lift you and carry you through whatever you're going through. Whew. I'm going to skip a lot of this. I'm going to move down. Thank you, Jesus. Number 4, sacrifice. Sacrifice of worship releases the manifestation of his presence. 2 Samuel 23 and 15. David was in the cave of Adullam. He longed for water. David said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well of the gate of Bethlehem. Oh, he was playing his harp at the time, but, you know, this is the keyboard, so. The Bible says in verse 16, 3 mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, carried it back to David. But the Bible says he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. David longed for the water of Bethlehem and got it. But he understood something here. He understood worship. He knew these three men risked their lives for him. But the real sacrifice was David's offering to God. How many of you tonight are willing to offer your hearts to the Lord and go after his presence? Sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise. Only God can satisfy a longing heart. It was David's drink offering, the sacrifice to God. David poured his life out to God. Notice the three mighty men. They didn't even object to this. I mean, these were big and strong men. They could have smashed David. But they didn't object to it because they understood worship. They understood the presence of the Lord. Number five, and finally, because my time is running out real fast. Say deep hunger. Wow. Deep hunger releases the manifestation of his presence. Number, let's go to 42, Psalm 42, in one. This is an old song. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. The deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living water. When can I go and meet with you, God? David questioned the Lord. When a deer is parched and dry and exhausted from being hunted, his last refuge is to find some body of water so he can plunge into the nearest body of water and quench his thirst. Now, was this particular deer threatened by its predator? Maybe. But when hunger is heightened, fear is suppressed. I'll say it again. When hunger is heightened, fear is suppressed. Now, I when I read these scriptures, I like to think about David when he was up there just playing his harp. I worship you, Lord. Perhaps by the creek or the creek. I honor your name today, God. Probably not playing these minor chords, but you are worthy all the praise and glory, God. There is no other God like you. There is no other God like you, Jesus. Well, Jesus wasn't born at the time, but I'm sure David had a sense of that. No other God. No other God like you. We love you. So here comes a deer, maybe just a few feet away from David, as he was playing by this body of water. When the manifest presence of God is in the midst, it doesn't matter how much fear or how many difficulties we face, or maybe a sickness, we plunge into the water because we know that that's the only thing that can quench our thirst. Refreshing to the deer is its water. Refreshing to us is the presence of God. encountering his presence, face to face with him, loving him. David said in Psalm 84 and 2, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. David was desperate for God. God, we love your name. When I just feel right now that we just stand all over the building. We honor your name tonight. Let's just take a few moments in our longing to just go after his heart. Come on, just stretch your hands towards the heavens right now. He is here tonight. This is the air I breathe. Come on, sing that. This is the air, your holy presence, your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Refresh our hearts. Those of you who have been waiting, those of you who have been sacrificing, those of you that have that deep hunger, you've been praying, and you're just longing for the presence of God. Come on, let's just fill it up. We're going to sing it again. We're going to wait until you come up, because I believe God wants to do something special tonight. His presence is here in healing in many ways. It's tangible presence. You are a holy God. Mm-hmm. This is the air. This is the air. This is the air. Before the Lord tonight. Oh, sing it out. Get out, yeah. Sing your song to him from your heart. We love your name tonight. We worship you, Jesus. We love your name, Jesus. All I need, oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you for living among us. Thank you for coming down in our hearts, in our lives tonight, flooding every place, changing the atmosphere, touching our hearts. Nothing else will do. Nothing else, God. You are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My heart thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in the dry and weary land where there is no water. We thank you tonight. We thank you, Jesus.
I think we have a moment here. Just stay right in this place. We're not in any hurry. I just feel like whatever need you have, you lay it down before the Lord right now. Whether it's a sickness or whatever it could be, they're all over the map on this. Just lay it right before him now. And I just sense so strong God's healing, gastrointestinal things, respiratory illnesses. Come on, weird things like ulcers, things that can't be seen but you feel. Come on, just all kinds of healing. Come on, if you're in need of wisdom, direction, just lay it right before him and just worship him. Don't focus on the need, just worship him. Come on. Just stay in this place. Courage, just keep singing songs. Is that all right? Come on.
So that, like, tonight's a picture of really, like, when Jesus was on the mountainside and he said, look at the hunger of the people. And when he did that miracle of feeding the 5,000. But the other thing that I feel like is happening tonight is what Ricardo has done is he's taken us into his living room. And a lot of times when we gather, we talk about the corporate presence of God. And the corporate presence of God is really a people who have personal presence encounters in their living rooms, and they come into a room together and they all crash together. And so we're having a collision right now of living rooms, of the moments when you've been on your knees at home and the places of pain and the places of what Ricardo was sharing of where you go and what did you call it? The hold.
Yes.
Right? And he's beholding your hold. Right? So I as we were just worshiping, I just really feel strongly that, you know, we believe in healing rooms. And I just want to declare over you that your living rooms are turning into healing rooms. So, and I really think that's what he's speaking to us tonight, right? Is our living rooms are becoming healing rooms. So just put your hand over your heart and just pray, Lord, let my living room become your healing room. So, Father, we thank you for tumors disappearing in people's living rooms. We thank you for ears being opened in people's hearing rooms. We thank you for trauma being released in people's living rooms. You're so good. You're so good. So good.
Jesus.